pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright.
When you have been laboring under the worry and angst of not measuring up, and you find out that you are no longer measured by God according to your righteousness, but according to the righteousness of Jesus, it changes everything. And this is the gospel.
That's Pastor Alan Wright. Welcome to another message of good news that will help you see your life in a whole new light. I'm Daniel Britt, excited for you to hear the teaching today in the series Unspeakable Joy, as presented at Renolda Church in North Carolina. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource right now. It can be yours for your donation this month to Alan Wright Ministries. As you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at PastorAlan.org or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on that later in the program. But now, let's get started with today's teaching. Here is Alan Wright.
Are you ready for some good news? There is more to your salvation than you know right now. There is more to being a child of God, redeemed, destined for heaven, filled with the Holy Spirit, led by God, and empowered by a timeless word. There is more to this than we've yet to work out. And so when we come today to a text that for lovers of grace like myself is one that is often brought up in front of us, well, yeah, I know you talk about grace and God did everything and so all the work's finished by Jesus, but what about this? Well, I've got some good news for you today in Philippians chapter 2 at verse 12, where we're just going to deal with two verses today, and one of which, a famous verse, which again, as a preacher of grace, you could be prone to just kind of cough and move on to the next verse because it can be so easily misunderstood. But today I hope to shine some light on this, the good news in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. We're going to talk about working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and what is such good news about what otherwise could sound like a heavy invitation to a life of work. I read this week something I had in a file years and years ago. A man said, I'm tired. Yes, I'm tired. For a couple of years, I've been blaming it on iron, poor blood, lack of vitamins, dieting, and a dozen other maladies that make you wonder if life is worth living. But now I found out it ain't that. I'm tired because I'm overworked. This guy goes on to say, you see, this was years ago, the number's a little off. He said, population of this country is 237 million. 104 million are retired. That leaves 133 million to do the work. There are 85 million in school, which leaves 48 million to do the work. And of this, there are 29 million employed by the federal government. That leaves 19 million to do the work. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it. 4 million in the armed forces leaves 15 million to do the work. Take from that the total of 14,800,000 who work for the state and city government, and that leaves 200,000 to do the work. There are 188,000 in hospitals. That leaves 12,000 to do the work. And there are 11,998 people in prison, and that leaves, therefore, just two people to do the work, you and me. And you're sitting there reading this. It's amazing how many people you meet and you say, well, how's everything going? And what they say is, I'm busy and I'm tired. And so the message of the grace of the gospel that I love to preach is an announcement that Jesus has done the work of salvation. And when your soul hears such delicious news, when you have been laboring under the worry and angst of not measuring up, and you find out that you are no longer measured by God according to your righteousness, but according to the righteousness of Jesus. It changes everything. And this is the gospel. And so what in the world does Paul mean here when he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? Because in the first place, Paul is the preacher of grace. And he has said over and over, like in the Galatian epistle, he said, who has bewitched you? You're adding some works into the gospel of grace. The grace of God must be pure. It can't be Jesus plus anything, not Jesus plus any of your own righteousness. And this is Paul. The second thing about Paul is that he is the one who's taught us that God did not give us a spirit of fear. God gave to us a spirit of power and love and self-control. He didn't make us into slaves again, living under fear, but made us children adopted by God, by which we cry out to him, Abba, Father. So how could he be advocating fear and trembling? And I want to talk to you today, therefore, about what possibly Paul is meaning by working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and show you really the good news in this. I'm not going to take as much time to talk about the idea of fear and trembling, because I think you can pretty much summarize this, and most scholars would say, if those words seem disturbing to you, substitute the words reverence and awe. That there is a way in which when you get to participate with God in something so holy as the living out of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, it is so marvelous, it is so awesome, that it makes you like one who's standing on the precipice of the Grand Canyon. If you're not a little bit overawed at the wonder of it all, you're not really seeing it. And if you're not a little bit overawed, and therefore something inside of you trembling with delight, excitement, and utmost reverence at the gospel of Jesus Christ, you hadn't really seen it. So to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and the good news of it, that's what I want to talk to you about today. Now, two important issues about this text, and to summarize a whole lot of scholarly discussion over the centuries about this text, let me just start out by saying there are two really important issues that have to be grappled with, and I'll summarize it this way. The word that Paul uses here for you is actually the plural. So this should be translated, work out all y'all's salvation with fear and trembling. So this is y'all, and it's in the plural. And when he says, my beloved, he's not talking to an individual, he's talking to the community. So this is not just speaking about individual relationship with Jesus. He's also talking here about the totality of the community of the body of Christ. Okay, we are so individualistic in the West. Other cultures throughout history and Eastern cultures, they don't think so individualistically like we do. But the body of Christ and the people of God is something that God sees, that there's a saving work that takes place not just within the individual, but within the church, something so redemptive that God's using in the world. So all of that is being referenced here as well as the individual. And the other question is, what is meant by salvation? This Greek word, soteria, is a word that doesn't just mean you get a ticket to heaven one day, although it does most assuredly include the glorious assurance of your heavenly destination. But instead, soteria means, in a comprehensive sense, well-being, salvation, deliverance, healing, peace, prosperity, and unity in the community. So all of this is at work when we're speaking about what your salvation means. So to say to work out your own salvation, I invite you to think, not just individually, but we're thinking also of the comprehensive sense of the body of Christ. But also, when you think of working out your salvation, whatever Paul means by this, he's talking not just about, okay, you're saved, you get to go to heaven. He's talking about the total package of what it means to be a child of God, including every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's what he's talking about. And that's important to understand this text. And let me just say that as I began grappling with this text, and I really grappled with it this week, it's been a long time since I've really, really looked at this text and looked at it from, okay, Father, what is the good news here? And I'm just going to share with you what I believe the Lord was showing me this week. And it begins with this, and this is, in the natural sense, let's say some things about work. Because it's absolutely a false dichotomy to say if you love grace and you believe in the gospel of grace, that therefore that means you don't believe in works. That's absolutely wrong. What we're saying instead is that the works that we are about and the righteous things in our lives and the assignments that God gives us and all of our vocation, that none of that has any bearing upon the finished work of Jesus, which has granted us our salvation. It is also to say, as Paul says in verse 13, that it's God who is both at will and to work this in you. So God has done something where he has drawn you unto him, and therefore his will at work in you. This is the mystery of the gospel. His will at work in you so that your desires get changed and you become a new creation. You become a new creature. You become someone that's like a new species. You're like a new thing that has new desires. That's what he's saying he does. So God's will is at work within you. His energy is at work within you. And so to say works is not to say a bad word. It's just that we have had so much wrong teaching and so much shame-based thinking that we thought our works were the way in which God was going to be in some measure more pleased with us. Beloved, let me say it again. There's not one work that you can do to add to or take away from the love of God, because the love of God is perfectly set upon you and was set upon you before you ever called upon his name or ever did one single holy or righteous thing. In fact of the matter, Christ came and died for the ungodly while they were still in their sin. So never, ever, ever, ever think that any work of yours is going to add to the love of God for you. But it doesn't in any way mean that God is somehow disparaging the idea of work. And let's just start with this. Work itself, beloved, is a blessing. It is a blessing to get to participate with God.
That's Alan Wright. And we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Have you ever thought that joy is a delight reserved for those who have no problems? Or have you ever assumed that some people are just born with a joyful personality? If so, get ready for some good news. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit available to all in Christ, no matter the circumstances of life. Though Paul was in jail when he wrote his epistle to the Philippians, he spoke of joy 16 times. No matter what you're going through, you too can discover the secret to unspeakable joy as Pastor Alan Wright leads you through a life-building exploration of Philippians. When you make a gift to Sharing the Light Ministries today, we'll send you the new CD album, The Secret of Unspeakable Joy, as our way of saying thank you for your partnership. Your gifts are the only way we're able to continue broadcasting the message of grace all over the nation. Happiness may rise and fall with happenstance, but joy is ever present in the Spirit. So become a partner today and discover joy like never before. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Alan Wright Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
Imagine you're in kindergarten and there's a school play and the teacher's going around the room and she's assigning different parts and this person's going to play this role and this person's going to play this part and Johnny's going to be behind the scenes and he's going to be working the curtain and somebody else, and she goes around all the whole class and everybody gets a part except for you. It'd be like me when I was in 10th grade, as I've told you before, and I played on the soccer team and we won the state championship. I just didn't play in the state championship game, but I was a state champion, but I did. My senior year, I got to play. I started, and it's just something like when you hadn't been able to play and you're on the team and the coach says, right, I want you to go in. You're like, okay. You don't get on the team so you can sit on the bench. If you get to go out in the field and do some work, it is a blessing. I'm saying it's a blessing to get to participate with God. Hallelujah. Just look at the little children. They know it's a blessing. You ever notice how little children crave to do the tasks that we dread to do? They play act. The firemen and the policemen, and they play act house and cleaning, and want a little kitchenette, and they want to get tool sets, and they want to do something. Happened on the way to adulthood where we got the wrong attitude about work. And we're funny people. I remember one time I went to a nice resort, and I looked around. I always like to go around and look and see what all they got, and I was amazed at the exercise room because they had two or three different type of stair-step machines. I was looking forward to this wonderful exercise room, but I got a little irritated when one day the elevator was out of service and I had to take the stairs up to the exercise room. We drive around looking for a better parking place so we don't have to walk very far to get into the Y to go get on the treadmill. Did you know there was work in paradise before sin came in the world? Right? Genesis chapter 2, the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. It was good work. The word for work there in Genesis 2:15, it means to till. It's not like work, like I'm going to lie here and the fruit is going to fall into my mouth. No, he is out there working the ground, tilling it, keeping the garden. And after sin came in the world, listen to the curse that came with it. Because you've listened to the voice of your wife and eaten of the tree of which I commanded you shall not eat, cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. So the blessing of work became a curse of work because of sin when it came in. What happened? Well, the word that is used here for pain in Genesis chapter 3 is in most Hebrew references in the Old Testament used to speak of emotional pain. He's not talking about the physical labor. He's talking about there's something now emotionally that has changed inside of the man that makes the work feel like work when once it didn't feel like work. Who's to say what's work and what's play? I remember when the kids were little, and we'd go down to the beach, and the thing, it's like my assignment was, because toddlers love this, dig a big hole on the beach, so big that it just starts filling in with water, and they got a big puddle to play in all day. And we go and we build that thing, and sometimes we'd spend hours building a wall around the front of it, shoveling for hours and hours just to try to keep the tide from overtaking it. I remember one year I was out there digging, my back's getting sore, and I thought, if I were at home and somebody were making me dig this hole, I'd be so grumbling and complaining every step of the way. Why is it that digging a hole at the beach is kind of fun, and digging a hole at home because you got to fix something around the house is such a pain? I'm telling you something about the attitude that we have towards work, the emotional pain of it. It becomes a curse when you work in order to prove yourself, in order to get blessing. But if you work because you are blessed, then that work is part of the blessing. Sue Bender years ago went and lived amongst a community of simple Amish people, and she wrote a little book called Plain and Simple, and she talked about what she learned about work from these simple Amish people. And here's something she wrote. Caring for the land every day is my way to be close to God. His land must be honored, she heard Eli say. And watching the Amish farm their land, Bender learned, quote, their intention is to make things grow and do work that's useful. I couldn't say exactly what the difference is, but I felt a difference. They work to work. Their work time isn't spent in order to do something else, to have free time on weekends, go to a restaurant, or save for a vacation or retirement. They do not expect to find satisfaction in that vague something out there, but in the daily mastery of whatever they're doing. So I think in the first place, part of the reason we misread this text is that we've made work into a bad word, and it's not. It's wonderful to be able to work with God. It really is. And then people confuse, I think, this passage because they hear in their mind, work for your salvation with fear and trembling. But this distinctly does not say to work for or to work at or to work up your salvation. It's not to work for it, it's not to work at it, and it's not to work it up. So what then does it mean? I think it means this in the first place. Let me give you three pieces of good news about the way to see this text. First one is this. Work out of your salvation. The blessing of being able to work with God is done from the foundation, out of the foundation of knowing that you're saved. Beloved, every single bit of energy in the Christian life by God's design is meant to come not from your worry, but from your assurance. It's amazing that Christians can see this completely differently, preach it completely differently, and I can't think of anything more important to say about the power of the gospel except to say this, that when you have an assurance of a foundational sense of I am certain that I am accepted in the beloved, that's the place from which you do your work. Salvation is this big concept, and it includes your healing, includes deliverance, includes the hope of the gospel, includes the fruit of the Spirit, it includes your life together in the community, the koinonia, includes all of this. And salvation is something that you have an assurance of as it regards your past, your present, and your future. Any of you there in our any of our community groups that do sermon-based guides, you'll see the question this week that's built on a little teaching in there about how our salvation has this sense. It covers our past because Christ paid the penalty for all our sin. But salvation is also for the present because it is power for us to overcome our sin. But it is also for the future because in the future you'll see, be saved from the presence of sin. So it's comprehensive. The penalty of our sin paid for in the gospel. The power of sin broken by the power of the gospel. And in heaven one day, the presence of sin gone. All this is the foundation of your salvation out of which you work. And when you work out of an assurance, it is completely different.
Right. And boy, this is a good teaching today. It is grace and working out your salvation. One that may trip up a lot of folks when they start thinking of these words and how does it work together. It's part of our series, Unspeakable Joy, and Alan is back in a moment to help unpack some of this with additional insight on this for your life and today's final word.
C.S. Lewis said, "No soul that seriously and constantly desires joy will ever miss it." In other words, joy isn't an elusive dream reserved for a select few who have no problems or for those who were born with a joyful disposition. Actually, joy is a fruit of the Spirit available to all in Christ. No matter what you're facing, you can have the joy of the Lord in the midst of it. The Apostle Paul did. Though he wrote his epistle to the Philippians while imprisoned, he spoke of joy 16 times. Alan Wright's newest CD album, The Secret of Unspeakable Joy, takes you chapter by chapter through Paul's explanation of the secret of joy in Philippians. When you make a gift today to Sharing the Light, we'll be delighted to send you the new CD album as our way of saying thanks for your partnership. Become a partner today and discover the secrets of unspeakable joy. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Alan Wright Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Alan, there's one thing that especially when somebody really gets and understands grace and freedom, one thing that could rob their joy is when they try to reconcile that with the scripture that talks about working out your salvation. And so it's like, well, is that counter to what I just learned that gave me this joy?
Yeah, exactly. And our listeners who have come to identify with the message of grace could go, oh, no, this just is a stumbling block here. You know, no, all of the scripture is true, and all of it is good and points to the gospel. So we're learning about today is how really, in the end, this is not a contradiction to grace, but it is a demonstration of the grace. And we're going to learn, learning how work really itself is a blessing. Mm-hmm. It's not something that's robbing us and we need to be rid of it. It's something that's a blessing. And it's not working for your salvation. It's working out your salvation, working out of it and working from it. And that's what we're learning about today. It's it is a very important point in the scriptures. So I hope our listeners dig in deep.
Today's Good News message is a listener-supported production of Alan Wright Ministries.